For a long time, we've been told how important it is for young men to have a strong male role model in their life. For generations, men have expected to be the head of the household and often the sole breadwinner. But nowadays, post the Me Too movement, what is the expected role men should play in our society? What are the do's and don'ts for young men growing up? How can they embrace the growing awareness in society and adapt to these changes that often conflict with the traditional views of what it takes to be a man? In this podcast series, we'll talk to experts in the fields of mentoring, domestic violence, workplace gender equality, and men's mental health, and talk to men who have overcome their own challenges and find out what it takes to be a man.
My biggest job is being a father.
Be a man. Suck it up. Don't be weak.
A man's role and what's expected of a man, it's very different.
Over 85% of abusers are men.
So why are we surprised when those boys grow up to be emotionally uneducated?
If you win, you're a bully. If you lose, well, you're just bloody pathetic.
Why doesn't she just leave?
You know what? I'm actually really scared right now and I don't know what to do.
My first guest is Martin Fisk, the chief executive of Men's Link, which is an organization that provides a mentoring program for young blokes, youth counseling, and also reaches out into schools and organizations by providing talks and support for young men. This is a service that has been so well received, there's calls for it to go national. So I'm delighted to be joined by Martin Fisk.
Oh, g'day Millie, how are you going?
Good, thank you. Tell me a little bit about Men's Link and what it provides and the gap it fills in the community.
So Men's Link is an organisation that is designed to help young guys get through the tough times that we all have in our lives, but get through it with the least amount of harm to themselves or those around them. We know that, say, for example, with mental health, young men and young women suffer pretty much around the same rates of anxiety and depression. But there's some key differences. Young men are three times less likely to seek help and get advice on how to deal with, you know, the turbulent times around them. But they're three times more likely to die by suicide. They're nine times more likely to get into trouble with the criminal justice system, and all those flow-on effects. So our job at Men's Link is to combine, you know, professional expertise, but also lived experience by having older, positive men who have been through those adolescent times, that have been through things like relationship breakdowns or family violence or bullying at school or exam pressure or losing a job or feeling lonely, and to be able to provide that guidance to young guys so that they can take their own positive steps to improve their lives without it impacting negatively on everyone around them.
That's such a positive response to such really troubling statistics.
Yeah, Millie, it's not commonly known, but just last month, to my knowledge, and there might be more, three young men got to the end of the line and felt that there was no other option for them other than to take their own lives. Now, that's three young men with a potentially fantastic future in front of them. But maybe they had nobody showing them the light, even if we're going through the darkest times in our life.
Yeah, you're quite right. I've actually read that when men try to die by suicide, they do it in a far more less preventable measure, if that makes sense.
So in general, yes.
So that's really, there's no chance to go, oh, actually, maybe I've made a mistake, I'll go seek help.
And our job at Men's Link is to provide a very friendly and welcoming environment where young guys can have those conversations before they get to a point where they're taking it out on themselves or against other people.
Can you tell me a little bit about the mechanics of what Men's Link actually does?
So we've got a range of programs, Millie. So we go out with our Silence is Deadly campaign, and we talk to around about 10,000 male school students every year, telling them that it's okay to have problems, but it's not okay to bottle them all up inside you until you get to breaking point. That actually a positive step is to put up your hand and ask for help. Doesn't really matter who you're asking. as long as you ask. And also, if you see a mate in trouble, here's what to look for, and here's how to help them get through those tough times. We have an intensive small group program, which we'll take to maybe 500 young guys this year, just teaching them things like values, self-esteem, respectful relationships, how to de-escalate a potentially conflict situation. We provide professional counselling to around about 800 clients this year, and that's all free of charge, either in schools or in our offices in Holder. And then there's our mentoring program. And that's typically for guys who don't have a dad in their life, who just need a positive male role model to show them how to become the man that they want to be. You know, somebody who can be respected, not feared. Somebody who has a core sense of self-esteem. Somebody who, and this is my definition of manhood, somebody who can build things or people up, not tear them down.
That's a really interesting definition of being a man. I do like it. It sounds very positive. How important is it for a mentor to be male?
I think it's critical. And, you know, our Aboriginal ancestors have been doing this for tens of thousands of years, where the men take the young boys out, go through a rite of passage and show them how to become adult men. The women take young girls out and show them how to become adult women. This is something that, you know, Indigenous people the world over, and in fact, you know, Anglo-Saxons and all of that have been doing for hundreds or thousands of years, but we seem to have lost that a little bit. I think if you're going to learn how to be an adult man, you really need to be doing that from another adult man. And the same goes for young women as well.
You do learn things off your mum and you do learn things off your dad, and it has been traditional and passed down for a long, long time. So you mentioned that men bottle up their feelings. Do you think this is part of the stereotype of being man, and how does that negatively affect men's lives?
So I think there's two issues. One is that in terms of being able to discuss and express emotions, that is something that has been suppressed, I think, traditionally in the way young boys have been brought up. You know, don't cry. You know, boys don't cry. You know, you're supposed to be doing this and not that. You know, you're supposed to be a sports person, you know, not a book reader, for example. So young boys traditionally have not learned how to express their emotions. They haven't learned how to say, you know what, I'm feeling a bit angry about this, rather than just lashing out with their fists. But the other issue that I see occurring in society is there are not many places where young boys, and in fact adult men, feel safe to open up and have those conversations. And I think as a society, we need to address both sides of the coin. It's not enough to say we need to remove stigma and that it's men's fault that they don't talk. Our experience has been that young boys and men do talk, but only when they feel safe. So being able to provide, and this is what we do at Men's Link, provide a safe space where young guys, whether it's in a group with each other, with some adult guidance, whether it's one-to-one with an adult mentor or with one of our professional counsellors, feel safe to say, you know what, I'm feeling a bit scared about this thing that I've got to go through next week. I don't know what to do in my family. I'm nervous about this. Or I'm feeling really, really sad because my girlfriend's left me, or whatever it is, the circumstances. We really need to provide that safe space for young boys and men to talk, to encourage them to not be judgmental. And that's really one of the things that Men's Link shines at.
You mentioned that safety is key to allowing men to open up and express their feelings. How can we as a society and potentially as an individual, if you've heard this podcast and you go, right, I identify a male in my life who might need to open up, how can you make them feel safe and encourage them so that they do open up and they don't bottle up their feelings?
So one of the things that we encourage, say, for example, our mentors to do, who are all volunteers from all walks of life and ages and careers, we encourage them to tell a little bit of their own story, to be vulnerable themselves, so that the young guy or just somebody else, you know, that you come across feels safe to talk, that they know they're not going to be judged. So, for example, when I give talks, whether it's one-on-one or in a group situation or even large presentations, I talk about some of the hard times in my life. And by doing so, people then know that they could talk about the same things to me, and I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to tell them to harden up. And that is so important, to be able to have those conversations and to be a person that has a badge, if you like, that says, do you know what? When I ask you, are you okay, you can give me an honest answer, and I'm not going to judge you. I'll be there for you, no matter what it is that you're going through.
Yeah, that's really important to be able to feel safe, and I can understand it playing an important role. And I guess if you feel like somebody is sort of needs your help, it's also bravery to sort of go, well, look, I've been through some tough times, and it's definitely an exchange of vulnerabilities.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, this isn't about necessarily, you know, who's got the biggest sob story or anything like that. It's just making it a safe place to talk. And what we find is if you've got a safe place to talk, with a little bit of advice and guidance from somebody who's been there and done that, who's had, some lived experience, then you start able to get a different perspective on life, to then start to say, well, you know what, maybe I could take a different path, or maybe I can do this little thing that will help me get through this tough time, no matter what the tough time is. And it's so powerful. And we have story after story after story of young men who have suffered incredible adversity, you know, incredible adversity in their life, whether it's, you know, family violence or trauma that they've experienced or whatever it is, and to be able to get some advice on how they can work through those tough times in a better way.
So providing strategies and people who can provide support sounds like a really big cornerstone of Men's Link.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to one of our former mentees just the other weekend, and he said to me, Marty, look, one of the big things I learned from my mentoring journey, and this is, you know, he finished, you know, 5+ years ago, is he said, I learned how to deal with problems by talking things through, not by fighting them out. And this was a young man who had experienced some pretty horrific family violence at the hands of his stepfather. And that was, you know, how he learned through his life. And then, you know, as he said, I was able to swap a really negative role model into a positive one and learn a whole lot of new skills. And, you know, he said to me the other day, and in fact, you know, relayed his mum's thoughts as well, that it completely changed his life and set him on a new trajectory. And he said, look, if it hadn't have been for Men's Link, I might either be dead or in jail.
Wow.
As opposed to a young man now in his early 20s, who's got a steady job, he's got a house that he lives in, you know, and he's kicking goals. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Absolutely changing some young boy's life. And you're right, where it makes you wonder if you're brought up around or without lacking role models or with potentially negative role models, where is a man meant to learn or a young boy meant to learn a different way of interacting.
Exactly, and particularly if some of his upbringing has involved role models, either directly or indirectly through movies and online entertainment and pornography, where those male role models are really very negative. You know, they're violent, they're misogynistic. Again, they tear people down. We need to replace those role models with a trusted person, whether it's a mentor or a counsellor or a facilitator or whatever, who really holds those values that, you know, the difference, for example, between a strong man and a weak man who's hiding behind a veneer of toughness. A strong man who wants to build people or things rather than to tear them down. Because it's pretty easy, isn't it, to tear things down, whether it's other people or through vandalism or whatever. And, you know, our job is to encourage our young guys through that role modelling to have a level of acceptance and then to, you know, commit to, yeah, I can do this. I can be a positive person myself. And that's so important.
Instilling a sense of belief is definitely a powerful thing. I agree there. How do you identify young males that might benefit from the services that Men's Link provides?
Typically, they'll come to us. And really, our only criteria for a young man who comes to us is that he's willing to engage and, you know, he wants to improve himself. And that's it.
Oh, wonderful.
We don't care where they come from. We don't care their socioeconomic background. We don't care their level of ability or disability or cultural background or heritage. All our services are free. So, you know, it really doesn't matter who you are, as long as you're a young man who goes, yeah, you know what? I could do with a bit of extra advice or guidance in my life. And we've been growing. We are now in our eighth straight year of 30% average growth in client demand. Most of our referrals are actually through word of mouth, and a lot of them come from mums. You know, mums who are worried about their sons, and, you know, rightly so in many cases. And, you know, mum will get in contact with us and then the young guy, and we'll either you know, recommend, you know, mentoring if he needs a longer-term, you know, relationship with a role model, or intensive counselling if he's got some specific issues he needs addressed.
Why do you think, obviously there's such a demand for the service you provide, why do you think there's such a gap in our community?
I think that there's no doubt that mental health issues are getting more prevalent amongst young people, exacerbated by feelings of loneliness, trauma perhaps that they've experienced as a kid through things like family violence. You know, 62% of our clients have been exposed to family violence, either as a witness or as a direct victim, through, you know, the isolation and damage that social media and online entertainment, particularly if it's, you know, very, very heavily used. And I think that's driving demand. I think also we are a unique service in just providing a range of support to young men. And the reason we do that is because we find when a young guy, whether he's a boy of 10 or a young man of 25, when things are not going well for that young man, they tend to have a very significant ripple effect across our community. And that's why we focus on young men, you know, in terms of, as I said, the suicide rate, the rates of crime, particularly violent crime. It might surprise you to learn that last year, nearly 10% of arrests for family violence by ACT police were young men aged 10 to 18.
Wow. Gosh, so they're really at risk then.
Yeah, and as I said, you know, the damage that they can inflict, not just on themselves, but then across their family, maybe across, you know, their school and the broader community. And I think it's pleasing to say, you know, when we work with these young men, not in a judgmental way, not in a way that shames them or labels them as a perpetrator or a hopeless case or whatever, when we work with these young men to give them some pretty simple advice on how to be the man that they want to be, the schools and parents that we survey overwhelmingly say we've had, you know, a positive or very positive effect on a whole range of indicators, both, you know, personal indicators like self-esteem, but also on, you know, their relationships with their family, relationships with staff at school, with peers, reductions in antisocial behaviour. All of those things have flow-on effects across the community, and that's what we're trying to do, just show these guys a better way to be a better man that has a positive effect on the people around them rather than that negative ripple effect.
I think you could potentially sum up what you're saying is that by helping men, assisting men, rather than making them conform to sort of negative stereotypes or asking them to bottle up their emotions, by acknowledging that men play a valuable part in our society, that it actually helps everybody else around them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, realistically, we don't believe in specific male stereotypes. You don't need to be a sports person, or you don't need to be this or that or whatever. As I said, in my opinion, the definition of a good man is somebody who builds rather than tears down. But it actually doesn't matter what it is they're building, you know? They can be a people person. They can be a sports person. They could be an academic. They could be a shop assistant who just tries to make people feel nice when they come into a shop. They can be anything. But realistically, my view is a man builds and doesn't tear things down. And we just need to show more young men how to do that and to encourage them to do that and show them those rewards that they get from being that sort of a man, as opposed to the sort of man who resorts to violence before he resorts to talking things through, who resorts to isolation and self-harm, or who resorts to, you know, drugs and alcohol. There are far better ways to work through issues, and that's our job, to show those young guys how to do that.
So how do you go about finding these mentors, and what do you look for?
So we look for, there's actually not a lot of criteria that we look for in a mentor. First and foremost is that they've been through their own adolescence and survived it. You know, that's first and foremost. So they have that lived experience, and they haven't been too damaged by it. The second thing we look for is somebody who's got patience. Very important criteria, because somebody who hasn't got a lot of patience might not be the best role model for a young guy in terms of encouraging that young guy to be able to open up in his own time frame. And the third one is that he's got emotional intelligence. So he's not going to be judgmental. He's not going to say, come on, mate, toughen up.
Mm.
Apart from that, we have people who, I think our youngest mentor is 23, our oldest is 73. We've had and have politicians, media personalities, tradies, retirees, university students, people from defence, ranging from, you know, privates through to very senior officers. We've had senior bureaucrats, junior bureaucrats, tradies, business people, every single walk of life. And as I said, they just provide this patient, emotionally intelligent role modeling for young guys so that the young guys can get this sense of, maybe there's a different way of doing things. If I want to be a respected man, maybe I could do this as opposed to that.
Excellent. And do you have any training that you provide for the mentors or any specific advice or step-by-steps that they could follow potentially if they might be challenged by the role?
Yeah, so all of our mentors get 16 hours of training before they start. They get ongoing training throughout their time with us. And that's optional. You know, we understand our mentors have busy lives. And they also have a regular catch-up with our case managers just to discuss how things are going and, the good, bad and ugly of their mentoring relationship.
Wonderful. And you're based in Canberra. Are there any plans to take this national? Do you see a need for it nationally?
There would not be a week that goes by without a request coming through for us to go national. But I think the cost and impact of that is very, very high. So at this stage, we're concentrating on what we're good at, which is servicing the people of the Canberra region. And in fact, we're busy keeping up with demand just from the Canberra region, let alone thinking of further expansion.
It worries me and troubles me that potentially as a society we're letting down these young men, but it's also really wonderful to know that there is such a great service that sees the need and is addressing it in such a positive and effective way. Thank you very much for your time, Martin, and thank you very much for all the good work you do through Men's Link. I've been very lucky to watch my dad mentor, and it's been really lovely. It's made me appreciate him as a dad all over again.
Oh, that is so cool. Can you tell him that? Because I bet you haven't.
I know I've expressed that, and I probably could definitely express that to him even clearer than I have. So,
even if you just flick him an email so it's not so embarrassing.
I know. I'd probably be more comfortable with that, yeah.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah, no, it's...
That sort of feedback, seriously, because, as a father of two girls myself, you don't often get that.
It can be.
And it's not that they don't believe it. It's just that, you don't get that so much.
There's not a lot of opportunity to express that. You're right. I'm interviewing him next, so I might just tell him and record his reaction.
That wouldn't be embarrassing at all.
No, it'd be fine. Very comfortable.
Yeah, no worries.
This has been a NextPods original podcast.